fluffy bread,
classic burger buns,
and so many carbs. Carb fear is real.
But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously, great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello to you. This is the Nikki Maduro Show. I'm Kim McAllister filling in. And well, I'll tell you, I didn't think I was going to make it over here. We had some problems with the internet in my neck of the woods. And so here we are trying to make it all work. I managed to get in the nick of time. If you've been waiting for the show to start, I'm so sorry for the horrible delay. Nikki, of course, is off for today, tomorrow as well. Her daughter is in the hospital and they're testing things out and seeing if they may be able to leave or if they have to stay for a little longer. And at this point, we just don't know. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I see the chat is alive and well. Thank you so much. We were supposed to have Mark Thompson on to talk about celebrity stories. You know, he's always the one kind of taking the charge and asking all the questions, and I never get to be in the driver's seat. So well, let's see if he pops in and talk to him a little bit about that. There's a couple of things I did want to show you, though. I don't know if you'd seen this story. It's from Henry K. Lee, who's a reporter at KTVU in the Bay Area. And he posted this really interesting video. Check this out. This is a motorcyclist doing crazy tricks right in front of a CHP officer. Look at that. Just going to town. Yeah. Wow. So the CHP officer doesn't pull over this driver. Instead, collects the information, tries to figure out who this person is and does that. And then they go and impound the motorcycle. That's right. Off it goes on the tow truck. Bye-bye. And here's the CHP officer. Apparently, look at the bumper sticker or the sticker on the side of the motorcycle. Cops love us. Yeah. Well, cops impound you is what cops do. That's it. Says, as Mark Thompson would say, sayonara, sucker. That's all she wrote. I was just quoting you. I was just quoting your sayonara, sucker. How you doing, Mark Thompson?
What's up? You finally got on. Sure, for Nikki's show, you get on. For our show, your internet doesn't work.
I'm telling you, I tried every which way. It's been a harrowing last hour as I tried furiously and futilely to log on.
It's the most brutal thing when you know, and especially if it's not your show, it's somebody else's. It's like, oh my God, I said I would do the show and now I and can't get on.
Yeah. I know, it's so frustrating. But here we are, and thank you for agreeing to come on, because I was saying at the beginning, you're always the one in the driver's seat. So I never get to turn the tables and ask you the questions. And one of the things I love the most is when you tell your celebrity stories. So I was going to ask you, because I know you were in a Harrison Ford flick. I know, because I've watched it just looking specifically for you.
Air Force One.
Yeah. Yes. So I wanted to know if you had any stories from the set or Harrison Ford stories. Or
well, I'll tell you what was the that was an awkward thing for me. I'll tell you why. There was awkward good and awkward bad. I think bad one, but I'll tell you and you tell me.
Okay.
So this is a movie, Air Force One, where the president's plane is taken over by the bad guy. He's played by Gary Oldman. Harrison Ford plays the president.
Yeah.
And I want to say, who is the Glenn Close? Is she the vice president?
I think you're right.
Google it.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's I think that's it. Anyway, it's on the Sony lot, okay, which is the old MGM lot where they shot all the big MGM musicals and all the, you know, the you know, golden age of Hollywood, right? So it's kind of cool. You drive up and you drive onto this movie lot and it's kind of a big deal. And I'm going to play a reporter in the White House press room. That's what I'm playing.
Sure.
So you audition for this stuff. And, you know, at the time I was getting a lot of that sort of thing. So it was really kind of cool. And anyway, but it's always cool because it's not your main thing. So here you are playing a reporter in the press room. You drive on the lot, you park the car. And the first thing I saw was a bunch of people in twos and fours, like groups of two and four.
Okay.
And they're walking around the lot and they're carrying these like gun type things, but they're not gun. They look like, you know, space laser type guns.
Okay.
And they themselves look like Star Wars type characters. Like they're wearing stormtrooper type outfits minus the helmet. So you're seeing the person's face, but everything else about them looks like they're a star trooper of some kind, okay? And that's because they were shooting at the same time. That movie, I think it's called Star Troopers.
Isn't okay,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the name of the movie. I'm not sure. You'll have to check. But
Google it.
All right. So Star Troopers and the people who are the Star Troopers are walking around because they're on lunch or they're on a break or they're not needed for a shot. So right away, it's kind of cool. You know, you're on these this movie lot and there are these huge sound stages. And there's so many of them that you're getting lost. It's like a city. And then you see stuff like that. Somebody in full makeup or a Star Trooper outfit, and they're walking past you. But in the case of the Star Troopers, there were lots of them. There might have been 35 or 40 of them in little groups, as I say, of two or four.
That's cool.
So once I figured out what was going on with that they're shooting Star Troopers, that was kind of cool. Then I found the stage I'm supposed to be on. So I go on, and this is a big movie, all right? This movie, Air Force One, was directed by a guy named Wolfgang Petersen, okay? Wolfgang Petersen, super famous, big director at the time. So now you're in a Wolfgang Petersen movie. You're with Harrison Ford, Glenn Close. Mm-hmm. You know, it's big.
Yeah.
So I walk in. And
where's the drop? Do you know who I am?
You get it.
Yeah. Do you know who I am?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, right. Compared to the other reporters, I was a big deal because I was an actual television person.
Sure.
And you walk into the soundstage and they have an absolute replica of the White House press room.
Cool.
An absolute remarkable double. Subsequently, I've done movies that have involved and television shows that have involved the president or stuff on Capitol Hill, and they do the same thing. They make whatever environment that you're supposed to be working in a double for that environment in real life. For example, I did a show called it's a woman who plays president, and she is Gina Davis plays the president. Help me. What was the name of the show?
Movie.
Google it.
Okay. I know. Gina Davis plays the president. It's not a movie. It was a TV series on ABC. It wasn't Madam President. But anyway.
I really like that one, by the way.
So Madam I president. Walk. I know those are great. And I love the idea of a woman president. Sadly, it has to always be in movies or in TV.
Commander-in-Chief.
Commander-in-Chief. Thank you. Very, very good. So I was on the set of Commander-in-Chief, and I did multiple episodes for that, and that had its own kind of cool thing to it, because I was in scenes with Donald Sutherland, who's like just a legendary actor.
Oh, yeah.
And I, at the time, this is a digression, but the first thing I want to say is that they had absolute replicas of the Oval Office. Oval Office, that's side cool. rooms, they had a whole, like, blueprinted replica. And the only difference, there was one big difference. So everything's exactly the same as you'd find it at the White House, except for one thing. There was no what? There was no roof. Because they needed the roof for the lights, for the lighting to be right. They need the lights. So anyway, that's that. This White House press room and Air Force One was the same. So they three of us have lines in this movie. And if you go to Air Force One and you watch it again, you'll see all these close-ups of me, and yet I don't say anything that you can hear, okay? There's a reason for that. So there are three lines, and I forget. The line in the scene is James Marshall still president? Because, right, the president's plane has been taken, and you know, there's a question as to who's still leading the country.
Right.
And so the person in the scene who has the line that will make it is the person who says, is James Marshall still president? At the time, I was getting a lot of this stuff. And at lunch, I meet the producer's mom. She's an ex-reporter from KYW in Philadelphia, I think.
You have a lot in common.
So, yeah, so we're kind of vibing and talking. And then there was another girl there, an Asian girl, younger, looked like she might have been cast because she was, maybe knew somebody. I mean, she didn't fit the mold that everybody else did of reporters who look kind of more grizzled and more veteran, you know.
Sure.
Anyway, but whatever. I mean, I it was upon reflection that I noticed that. Mm-hmm. At the time, I didn't think. I thought, okay, fine. So I talked to the woman at lunch who's the producer's mom.
Yeah.
And she says, and you understand it's in a scene, everybody's shouting stuff, okay? Now I can shout pretty much over a lot of people, okay? I mean, that's so I felt good.
Why are you yelling?
So I'm, you know, people are going, Madam Vice President, is someone, you know, you're yelling, right? So I said to the woman who's the mother of the producer, look, I'll get my line out. Because I have a loud voice.
Right.
Why don't you take this line in the scene?
Oh, she's in the movie too.
Oh, yeah. There's three of us who have speaking lines. Okay, so it's me. I have a speaking line.
Right.
She has a speaking line. And then the third person, the younger girl, has a speaking line.
Sure.
A younger woman. She's probably 23 or something.
Yeah.
So I, and I have the line. Is James Marshall still president? And I said, and this is something I would never do again. This is how stupid I was back then. I'm going to tell you, this is stupid. Like, you fight for these roles and you audition for these roles. But to me, I didn't take it seriously enough. I didn't understand how special it was.
Right.
I gave her at lunch. I said, why don't you, like, they're not keeping track of who's saying what. And they weren't. They weren't. They said, it was three lines kind of divvied up. You had to be there. It was like a weird thing. It was like, there was not. It wasn't, you say this, you say this. You guys work this out, but why don't you, Mark, you'll say that Neil's. It was like no line was ascribed greater importance than another. At lunch, I said, why don't you say this line? Because I think this line is more important, but then I'll say your line. So then when we actually got into shoot, they fill that room with extras. And the extras are all shouting stuff. They gave the extras four different lines to be shouting. Okay, it was kind of funny how they did it. And they brought photographers in, got people who are extras who look like they're photographers. It looked real to me. I'm in the scene. I know it's a movie and it still felt real.
You think you're in the White House.
Yeah. And then they brought Glenn Close in. And so she's there. She's handling the press conference. And so we're yelling. And so I get my line off, although it's not my line anymore. It's the mother of the producer's line. And then the producer's mother gets the line off, but it wasn't the line that I gave her.
Uh-oh.
And then the younger girl, or woman, 23-year-old, was she gets the line, "Is James Marshall still president?" I'm thinking, wait a minute. I gave that woman the line, "Is James Marshall still president?" And somehow, and later I found out that she had given the line to the younger, like they were all swapping lines. And to be fair, I don't think anybody realized that these lines were significant. Right. Even right. I thought, I don't know, we're all shouting these lines. They're all some version of, "Is James Marshall still president?"
Sure.
Is the president okay? What can you tell us about the president? It was all some version of that. So upon reflection, I realized that "Is James Marshall still president?" was the critical line that is not going to get cut from the movie. But at the time, I don't think, to be fair, I really understood that.
Right.
So she gave away my line. So if you look at that movie today, there is the press room scene directed by Wolfgang Petersen. It comes in with a German accent and, "Okay, want to you yell, yeah, let's run it once, blah, blah, blah." And son of a gun, son of a bee, you see close-ups of me, man. I had a line, but it was cut out of the movie because the person who says the real line is that younger reporter in the front row. So,
yep.
It was sort of a,
and that's how that ended.
That was a brutal thing. But so many, so when you ask about that movie, that's what I remember. You know, it's like, good news is you're on a big movie set, a lot of movie stars.
Right.
Bad news is you're kind of an idiot and you gave away, you know, I never made that mistake again.
Yeah. But you don't, do you have any, you don't have any stories like in the lunch line with Harrison Ford?
Oh yeah. Well, we got high in his trailer together. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
See, that's what I was looking for.
I know. I'm sorry. I know you wanted a real, like, I don't really have any stories of like doing drugs or partying with any big stars. I mean, my stories are, you know, near miss stories. You know what I mean? I remember that when I was doing the scene with Donald Sutherland, I was super nervous because Donald Sutherland's a really famous actor.
Who wouldn't be?
It's just Donald Sutherland and me. And I'm playing this kind of the host of a show, maybe think of like a Jake Tapper type or something like that. I have the guy, and he's playing the kind of the bad guy in the political sense in this series, okay? Commander in chief. So I can ad lib for hours. I can talk for hours, okay? No problem. I did that on the set of 24, and it was like no one could believe they actually applauded at the end of this long ad lib thing that I did. And I thought, because they're not used to that. They're used to people saying their lines and memorizing lines and saying them. What I can't do is I can't memorize lines and say them. That is a real struggle for me. So if you want something ad-lib for a long time, I can do that. I understand that not everybody can do that. That's like a superpower. But the superpower I don't have is being able to memorize anything and say it exactly as it was written. It makes me, and because I'm so bad at it, it makes me so anxious. I mean, really anxious. And the more anxious you get, the more what? The more you can't remember it. Yep. Okay, so I am in the scene with Donald Sutherland, and all I'm thinking about is, don't forget your lines. Just whatever you do, don't forget your lines. So the guy is, he's saying his thing, and I'm not acting at all. I'm like just trying to remember what the hell I'm supposed to say. So he says something, then I say something, then he says something, then I say something. And they ran a rehearsal. And after the rehearsal, it's just the two of us and the director and then the crew there. He leans over to me and he puts his hand out on my arm. And it's just because of my nervousness and anxiety, I'll never forget this moment. And he said, "That was terrific. You've never acted before?" I'm thinking, acted? I'm just trying to remember the effing lines, dude. I'm doing no acting, none, zero, okay? And yet somehow, so then the next day, I come to the set, and his son is Kiefer Sutherland, and he's on 24, and I'd done a bunch of stuff on 24. And he says, this is Donald Sutherland, legendary guy. I walk into the makeup trailer, and he goes, hey, I saw you on 24 last night. I'm thinking, Donald Sutherland and I are pals. We are pals now.
Yes, you are.
So we started talking about Kiefer and blah, blah, blah. It was really, that was my best hangout experience. It was with Donald Sutherland. The problem is he's such a big deal that I got nervous. You know, I'm just too nervous talking to them. I'm just not comfortable, you know.
It says here on the IMDb Mark Thompson site, because you're that big of a deal that you have your own page.
Yes.
That
you're,
do you know who I am?
Right. What? That? What? What happened?
You're known for The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that was a big scene. Day After Tomorrow, pivotal sequence.
Independence Day.
No idea where I am in that movie, or if I'm ever seen. They hired everybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
Video newscaster, exactly. You're in a monitor somewhere. Yeah, that's nothing.
The Cable Guy.
Cable Guy, big scene. Judd Apatow and Ben Stiller. That was a great, fun movie to do. Yeah. And oh, thank you. I forgot about that. I am a big deal. Go ahead.
Like, I should have been more nervous hanging out with you on the radio, not realizing what was going on. So talk to me about The Cable Guy. How fun was that?
The Cable Guy was great because I'm a big Ben Stiller fan, and people who know Ben Stiller may know the Ben Stiller Show where he first started. And if you watch the Ben Stiller Show, so many people were launched off that show. Andy Dick, Janine Garofalo. I'm forgetting now, but there are more. And so I was already a Ben Stiller fan, and we had done some stuff together, like Fox upfrontish kind of things in front of advertisers. And I was an MC often on those, and so that was kind of cool. But I'm sure Ben hated it, but it was kind of cool to be around them. I hated having to do those things. He just wants to make a TV show. Anyway, I get cast in this film along with a colleague of mine from the television station in Los Angeles where I was working. And we did this movie, The Cable Guy, and it was, I thought, a really good, it's now a cult classic. Yes. At the time, I think it didn't open to, it was Jim Carrey, you know, it didn't open to huge business. But isn't it, I think it's Jim Carrey and I want to say it's,
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's Jim Carrey and
director Ben Stiller. Stars Jim Carrey, Matthew Broderick, and
Matthew
Leslie
Broderick.
Mann.
That's it. Yeah, Matthew Broderick. Thank you. Yeah. But to be fair and honest, Broderick and Stiller were not on. I'm sorry, Broderick and Carrey were not on the set for my scenes because they're watching something on television, so we're doing the television stuff. But Ben Stiller and Judd Apatow were, and that's where I met Apatow. I didn't know him prior to that. And I thought Cable Guy was great. And now, as I say, it has sort of ascended to this cult classic. But I remember on that set, he was saying, would you say that as an anchor? Or do you think this works? Or that's always fun when you feel like you're part collaborating in any way. I mean, I know it's a little thing, but it was, there's a shimmer to it all that's real, you know? Yeah. It definitely is real. Yeah.
I found on this site as well, doing my Mark Thompson research, a picture of you with the Dancing with the Stars lady, Brooke Burns.
Brooke Burns. Now, Brooke is,
I mean,
amazing.
Now I'm really nervous because you got that sidekick and then you got me. So wait a minute.
Brooke is tall, stunningly beautiful, funny, like super charismatic and dynamic. It's almost like not cool to be around her because she just takes all of the energy in the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know why, because she's all those things I just mentioned. We did a show together called Hole in the Wall.
Right.
And that's how she was the co-host. And it was so much fun to do. It was at the time, it was the biggest studio audience in the history of game shows. And I think in the history of network television, we had 650 people in the audience. And actually, they were screaming so loud, because you know how they whip these audiences up? 650 yeah. people in this big soundstage, that I blew my voice out on the first day trying to yell over them.
Wow.
And I literally, production was shut down for 3 days because I had to take, they gave me steroids and all the rest to try to get my voice back. I rested my voice. He said, I don't want you to say, this is an ear, nose, and throat guy. He's kind of this famous Hollywood guy. He's like Celine Dion's ear, nose, and throat guy, and Sting's ear, nose, and throat guy, whatever.
Because so you're a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a big deal. So I go to the big deal, ear, nose, and throat guy. And he says, don't say anything. I don't want you to use your voice at all for 3 days. And he gives me a steroid or whatever. First, he gave me the story, and it didn't help at all. He said, wow, this is really bad. I want you just to shut down for 3 days. And they shut down production. And I remember he texted me on the third day, and he said, how is your voice? And I said, I have no idea because I haven't used it in 3 days. I was so desperately afraid of losing the show. Like, I followed his admonition not to use the voice. Whatever you do, don't use it. So, but that's that show. It was Hole in the Wall. So it was done by Fremantle. They're the people who do American Idol. And it was supposed to be on after American Idol.
Oh, cool.
But because of the success of another show called Wipeout, which was
I don't even remember that show.
Wipeout was very popular and still might be on. I think there's like a new version of it. But where people running through obstacle courses and big, like, these big, you know, styrofoam hands like swing over and they knock them down into the water, whatever. It was so popular at the time. It was an ABC show that they rushed our show onto the schedule with no promotion. It was really sad. So you go from being in a protected time period, which is right after American Idol, to being rushed onto the schedule with no promotion. And we just didn't have a chance. We did 22 episodes. If you can still see it, Hole in the Wall, it's on... I think it's on Amazon. You can find it in addition to other places. Yeah. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying it's still out there.
So since we're having a moment, we're taking the time to name drop and tell the fun stories.
Please.
Anne is writing in, tell the tennis story with, she thinks it was Tony Bennett that you had mentioned in the past.
First, I'd like to say something about Nikki Medoro's graphics. They're better than mine. The show, I look at Nikki's show and I go, how come my graphics aren't that good? And how come? Yeah. I just like the way Nikki does a lot of stuff. So that's one of the things I notice. The Tony Bennett story is legend because, well, I mean, for a lot of reasons. I was in San Francisco and so excited to meet Tony Bennett because I was the weather guy at Cron. It was NBC at the time, and Tony was playing the Fairmont. The Fairmont has that room. I don't think they still have it. What is the room at the Fairmont called?
Well, there's a room at the Mark Hopkins called the Top of the Mark.
No, of course, that's spectacular. But this is
Are you talking about the Tonga room?
No, this is a performance room.
Google it.
No, it's not the Rainbow Room, but it's something like the Rainbow Room.
Okay.
But Tony Bennett was playing there. I just spaced what it's called. But, and so he comes on and I do the weather down from there. We did a lot of that kind of thing, a weather remote. So I'll talk to whoever it is, whatever they have to promote. Maybe it's a charity. In this case, it's Tony Bennett who's playing that room. And, then I'll do the weather. And then at the tail end, I'll go, so Tony, again, it's such a pleasure to meet you. You're here all weekend in San Francisco doing all the whatever. So that's the basic dance. So I knew that Tony Bennett played tennis. So at the end of all of that I just described, well, Tony's here, you know, good luck at the Fairmont all weekend. We're packing up. And I said, hey, by the way, I know you play tennis. If you want to come play tennis sometime, I'm a member of the San Francisco Tennis Club. And he said, oh, Mark, that would be great. I really would enjoy it. I'll be here all weekend. I'd love to do it. Why don't we play tomorrow? I thought, oh, are you kidding? I didn't expect that, you know, you'd say, yes, this is great. So I said, sure. He said, and so whatever time, I said, like, oh, see you at 1 o'clock. So I'm down there at the San Francisco Tennis Club, and I'm talking to the pros there, the tennis pros, the teaching pros. And I said, hey, this is a big day. Tony Bennett's coming to the club. He said, oh, Mark, Tony Bennett comes to the club, and, you know, he's been here before, and he won't want to play with you. I mean, you're, you know, he'll just hit. I said, I don't care whether he plays with me. Well, you guys are, it's Tony Bennett. He's a legend. Who cares if I play a game with him or we just hit? Like, that's a typical thing that a tennis pro would say. You don't understand. You're not appreciating the time I spend with him, whatever it is super cool. He's Tony Bennett. So I.
Why are you yelling?
Tony Bennett arrives and he's there with his, you know, white tennis outfit and his tennis bag. And we go down to a court that's sort of in the middle of the setup of courts. There were indoor courts. Now, I think they've turned them into condos or something, and they've moved San Francisco Tennis Club. Right. But anyway, so Tony and I are out there on the court, and there's a little bit of a crowd, but I mean, just people looking on, not a crowd. I mean, just onlookers, I would say, maybe a dozen people, something like that. And we start hitting, because he is Tony Bennett, okay?
Right.
And I'll remind you, at the time, I'm Mark Thompson. So
do you know who I am?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm kind of a big deal.
When you put the two of us together, there's enough star power there. But I'll grant you, you may not have to put me in. He might have had enough star power and, you know, luminescence on his own. But anyway, I will say that however the word got out that somebody was playing there, the crowd started to build. So you have 15, 20, 25 people now, and we're just hitting.
Right.
And so we're picking up balls there at the net. And he looks over at me, and he says, Mark, do you want to play? And the first thing I'm thinking, like, dude, I was told that you don't like to play. You know, you want to actually get into any kind of competitive, like, scorekeeping thing. But I said, sure. So we start taking warm-up serves. And he's an older dude. I thought, I'm going to be able to smoke him, man. This is not like, you know, so I got to just try to keep in play and be polite and, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Don't hurt Tony Bennett.
Right. We start playing, and I think I win the serve toss. You know, you spin the racket, and I start serving, and my serve was just big at the time, you know what I mean? Or big enough for this game. Please don't misunderstand me. I didn't have some, you know, it wouldn't even move the meter for most, you know, of these guys who would show up at the club, but.
Yeah.
But between the two of us, I had the bigger serve. So I go boom, boom, boom. I win, right? The first game. And I thought, wow, that looks bad, dude. It looks like you're just trying to blast Tony Bennett off the court.
Right.
So then he serves and I start to, and I'm just kind of like casually hitting the ball back. And, but I remember I won that game too. So I thought, this is really not going to be hard. And so the next service game, I'm starting to just spin the ball in. You know, I'm not trying to blast him with pace.
Sure.
And he blasts back my spin. Like, he smokes the ball down the line. Thinking, wow, this is not cool. I mean, now, and I spin in another one, and he smokes that one down the line. So now I'm in this game with Tony Bennett, I'm thinking, well, I don't, okay, let me just, still, I feel like I'm ahead, 2-1, whatever.
Yeah.
And he then begins to, because I've kicked back, win. And I'm thinking, and now the crowd, I glance over, has grown. Now it's a bigger crowd, and there are a lot of people like hanging on the fencing there at the whatever, you know. And it goes to be tied. And then he goes ahead. And I'm thinking, dude, this looks worse than you smoking Tony Bennett. This is
beat by Tony Bennett.
Old man beats weather guy, beats young, in shape weather dude. Right. Shows him the door. So I've got all that anxiety and I'm up in my head about like that. I don't want to play so hard that I'm blasting this guy off, but I also don't want to just be namby-pamby to the point that he beats me. Well, long story longer, I didn't know how to split the difference. I'm either playing or I'm not.
Right.
And I start pushing the ball long, and I started pushing the ball wide, and I start overhitting as I got behind. I started overhitting my backhand and dumping it into the net and overhitting my forehand, and it went just long.
How
and when the dust settled in front of this pretty big crowd at this point, Tony Bennett beat me. Old man beats young guy. It was pretty great. It was pretty great. Yes, it was. So
that's okay. You'll forever be able to say you got beat by Tony Bennett in San Francisco. Right?
It's true. It was quasi-embarrassing, but you're right. Also an odd brag. So I do have that. But
did,
man, I remember in the moment I was panicked.
Show on the weather? Did they, you know, did your anchors make fun of you?
I don't think I ever told. No? I think the first time I told that story was right here on, you know, in our crew, first on KGO, and then in our, you know, in our group, the KGO Extended, you know, KGO in Exile. I think that really is the first time I told the story, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the deal.
Murphy says, I left my pride in San Francisco.
That's a great line. It's so true. I was embarrassed.
Really,
I think I was really embarrassed. I mean, at the time, you know, I was really embarrassed. Subsequently, I was at an auction with a Tony Bennett. You know, he does watercolors, I think, and does a lot of painting.
I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. And his stuff was up for auction at a charity. And I had bid on something. I still remember what the picture looked like or what the painting looked like. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was a San Francisco scene type thing. And it was kind of like a, you know, Victorian houses type thing seen in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so I put down a bid, and some other guy put down a bid a little bit higher, and I would check back every few minutes, and I put down a bid a little bit higher than that, and he put down one, et cetera. So at the end of the bidding, when the live auction is over, when the, I'm sorry, the silent auction is over, if there are two people who want a piece that goes to live auction, okay? So the guys there, we're both hovering over this piece, right, as the silent auction is ending. And he says, I want this piece. I said, oh, I do too. It's really terrific. I said, he said, well, I'm going to get it. I said, well, the gauntlet has been laid down. Yeah, I said, well, I said, maybe you will. You've obviously got, I said, you've got great taste and good for you for bidding on this. I said something very diplomatic and supportive. Yeah. I said, well, you've clearly got good taste, and it's great that we're both supporting the charity. And he didn't go for that. He said, oh, no. I'm going to have this piece. It's like in my, like smack talking me about the piece and about that he was ready to spend a lot more money than that. So I, in my mind,
God, it's like a Seinfeld episode.
I made a decision. I decided I didn't want the piece anymore, but I was going to cost him a fortune to get the piece because he was so clearly determined to get it that I was just going to run the price up to some ridiculous number, and then I was just going to dance out. And that's exactly what I did. It was thousands and thousands of dollars that guy paid for that piece, and I had no intention of paying more than $1,200 for it originally. So I mean, had he not been such a smack talking a-hole, I would have never even, I might have even stepped back just to be courteous and go, well, you know, you want the piece that much, you should take it. But he was so like in my face, but that was a Tony Bennett piece. And so it was supposed to be the coda to my big Tony Bennett experience, but a different guy paid thousands of dollars and now he has it in his home. So
somebody noticed I was texting while you were talking. How rude of me, but I had to text Steve Moskowitz to tell him I managed to get back on the internet to let him know that he could come.
Oh yeah. Did you send him a link?
I sent him a link earlier. So that's what I was doing, Nick. I wasn't being rude.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing that when you look down at your phone, it's viewed as rude. And
well, it is, but you know, you got to do what you got to do.
No. It's not, yourself, it's not always rude though. You're coordinating something or whatever. I officiated a wedding.
Yeah.
You know whose wedding it was? It was Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline NBC.
Oh, okay.
I officiated his wedding on my deck at my house that burned in the house's, you know, anyway. But I mentioned it because I made a big mistake. The mistake is that I put all of the stuff I'm supposed to say as the officiant and all of my remarks, I put it in the phone.
Oh, no.
And when you, and this goes to what you're talking about, when you look at your phone now within our culture, it has the connotation. It just sort of looks like you're not paying attention.
Right.
Like you're checking, I don't know, the Warriors score, you're checking you're checking a message you just got, a text message. Oh, look, my eBay order. It looks like I'm going to get whatever it may be.
It's whatever this is that we're having here is not as important as what this is, which is
right.
It's the way it is.
It's something else besides what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so imagine I'm here. It's a beautiful wedding ceremony and I'm going like this and I'm saying, you know, and it looks like I'm saying things, but I'm looking at the phone and in photographs, it looks like I'm being rude. It looks like I'm
in the middle of the ceremony.
Yeah. In the middle of officiating a ceremony.
Take your wife to be.
Exactly. Do you, Josh, take this lovely tea? Anyway, so there
That's
you have it.
That's really funny.
I feel you on that. Yeah.
So I know I'm really sucking up your time today, but I know that you have celebrity poker games sometimes where you attend. And I'm wondering the funnest gathering of celebrities gambling at night together in a dark room with brown liquor, that type of thing. I mean, I'm setting the scene, you know.
I'll tell you that that poker has brought me in touch with a lot of really cool people and fun people and probably some, you know, jerky people along the way too. But, I mean, I've played cards with a lot of pretty big people. Like I played cards with Leo DiCaprio a couple of times.
Yeah.
Played cards with, and you know, the problem is with huge stars that you just don't know how. My knee jerk is just to interact with them like they're normal people. But, you know, I also want to go, hey, Leo, let me ask you a question. When you're doing that, when you're doing Titanic, I want to ask all those questions that sometimes we talk about on the show, you know, on my show. And I'm sure Nikki does something maybe on her shows also. But you don't want to be that guy, right? So you try to be cool. But I've, you know, I played just the other day, played cards with Jason Alexander, played cards with James L. Brooks, one of the, just last week, he's one of the creators of The Simpsons. My pal Sam Simon, he's one of the creators of The Simpsons. He was a dear friend. And Dax Shepard.
I love him.
Used to come to the house all the time to play. Jon Favreau.
Why are we not having these people on the show? What is happening?
You're right. I mean, I've lost, and you know, I'm not really good at asking people to be on. Kevin Pollak has got a game regularly, and I just played it last night. He's going to be on the show next week, by the way, show.
Cool. Okay.
He's going to do a San Francisco Sketch Fest, and he's an amazing actor and so funny, and just he's so gifted. So that'll be fun. But I mean, I've played with a bunch of people. I mean, like so many, it's hard for me to keep track, you know.
Flo says you should turn that into a series. Mark's Poker Game would make for a great movie or series. It would probably. Yeah,
there is that. You'd have to get them to show up and book. There were a lot of shows actually at the time and the height of poker excitement. You know, there was a period during which poker was really enjoying a renaissance. Not unlike crypto, by the way. Crypto reminds me of the excitement around crypto and excitement around poker. People were quitting their jobs. They were moving to Las Vegas. They were becoming poker bros. It was wild. But I think a lot of those kinds of shows that Flo is talking about did sort of get hatched during that time. Used to play a lot with Josh Molina. I think he has one of those shows also. He's on Scandal. He's from West Wing. He's from Sports Night. Molina's very funny, gifted actor, really talented. So I think a lot of these guys who have
was he the president on Scandal? I have to look it up now.
Yeah, you'll have to look. I mean,
Google it.
I really don't know the.
I'm going to. Yeah. Does anybody ever get pissed off? Like they're losing, they're mad. That type of thing.
Hell yeah! Absolutely. I mean, it's unreal the number of. You know, sometimes the way to win money in poker is not by waiting to get kings or aces or whatever, but to play funky hands. You know what I mean? And when you get beaten by a funky hand,
Lucky Land Casino asking people, "What's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?"
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You can get angry. Or when people get beaten by your funky hand, they get angry. So that can happen. There he is. That's Josh.
Josh Molina. Yeah.
He's
he was
so
not the
talented.
President. He really is.
Yeah.
He was great on the West Wing. I mean, he delivered those lines with such rapid fire, and it was good. Yeah.
He should come on our show. Maybe I'll get him on our show if you'd like. Yeah. But Nikki, you're awesome, and I love having you on my show, and you know my show.
Wait, you mean Kim?
Kim, I say Nikki.
Yeah, whatever, whoever. You
I are. Haven't slept in days.
No Brooke Burns. That's what it is.
Brooke, I ran into. She's got a child. I don't think she was married, but I think she had a child with that guy. Is it Josh Duhamel or something? Is that how he says his name? Do you know the
Google it?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what the look, but did she? I ran into her with that child who's now like 7 or 8 years old,
right?
But I thought she and some other like really handsome dude, like it was like a genetic experiment. The two of them got together and you know make this adorable kid. But anyway, I haven't seen Brooke in forever. It was good that you jogged my memory on her.
Yeah.
But Kim, so, this is a, I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, please. I was just going to thank you for coming on, and I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm glad that you took the time and glad we finally made it back onto the air. I finally made it back onto the air.
It's so hard. I'm counting on you to host my show tomorrow, although I am going to, because I have a power outage in my world that's coming. They announced it. They said that they're coming to replace the transformer in the whole neighborhood. Right. We may try to get on with me, but I don't know. We were talking about this after the show was over today. Yeah. We'll see how it goes, but and we're counting on you, and I'll try to get to an internet safe place.
Are you still, is your garage flooding? What's going on?
My garage has dried out, but there's more rain coming. So, you know, it's a, and there seems to be some problems. I got sandbags ordered. They won't be here until next Wednesday. So,
late.
By the way, if you try to get sandbags, you can get them, but they're really heavy.
Yeah.
And they said, well, that's no problem. I was at Home Depot, and they said, well, it's no problem. We'll load them into the car for you. I said, yeah, but, you know, I'm driving that car to a different place. And then
you're on your own, pal.
Right. Then I got to take them out. See, unless you're going to climb in the trunk with them, it doesn't do me any good that you load them in.
See, most places, well, at least in the town where I live, you got to go to the sand pile that the city provides and fill your own sandbags and make your own sandbags and load them in your car. So you're very hoity-toity there with your Home Depot escapades.
You don't hear hoity-toity and Home Depot in the same sentence much, but maybe it doesn't take much to impress in this conversation, clearly. But I am I'm bummed. I've got a special thing on order, which is kind of like a dam thing that you can lay out, and as the rain comes, it will absorb the water and keep it from draining in. So I'm hoping that moves it away from the house. Yeah, but fire and flood, right? Those are the two things. And quake is the other thing we worry
fire,
about.
Fire, flood, and quake. And power outages.
That's the evil three. I love Nikki's show. I watch Nikki's show. I know she's going through some stuff right now with her daughter, and I'm thinking of her often. And it was my pleasure to be on.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
You know, anything I can do to support. So, yeah, of course. Kim.
Thanks for hanging out.
You're a great asset, and I love seeing you. And thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Glad you got my name right this time. Love you.
I know.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, let's do a little bit of news now that we get rid of Mark Thompson. Attorney General Merrick Garland, I don't know if you saw this development. He's appointing a special counsel to oversee the investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents following his tenure as vice president. Robert Hur is taking on this role after serving as U.S. Attorney for the District of Maryland during the Trump administration. The announcement comes after Biden's private attorneys found materials with classified markings at the Penn Biden Center in Washington, D.C., and in storage at his home in Delaware. Opening statements underway in the Proud Boys trial for their alleged involvement in the Capitol riot. Leader Enrique Tarrio and four members of the far-right extremist group charged with conspiring to stop the transfer of power to President Biden by force. They are also charged with assaulting police officers, obstructing a government proceeding, and destroying federal property. A tornado emergency is in effect in one central Alabama county. It is in place for Autauga County, northwest of Montgomery. The National Weather Service tweeted it is a life-threatening twister, and it also said folks in two surrounding counties should take shelter. Not a little tornado in the town of Wilton near Stockton, I think that was yesterday, where one touched down, went for about a half mile, took down some trees. Doesn't often happen here. But I was looking up Wilton and tornadoes, and it turns out they had a tornado warning in that same area in 2015. So I guess you could say if it's going to happen, that's where. There's two new studies that show 2022 was the warmest La Nina year on record. The reports from NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration also found the last 9 years the hottest ever recorded. Scientists say it is a significant finding because La Nina conditions typically lead to cooler global temperatures. Cancer death rates down by one third since 1991. A new report from the American Cancer Society says rates have fallen steadily over the last three decades. It says it could be attributed to decreases in people smoking and new technology for detection and for treatments, but that's really significant. There's a Virginia woman gearing up to take on the World Marathon Challenge. So hats off to this lady, honestly, but I don't know why you would do this. Jill Jameson plans to run 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents. She'll start later this month in Antarctica, then she'll go to Africa, Australia, Asia, Europe, South America, and then end up in North America. She's going to run 7 marathons in 7 days. She's amazing. I don't know how you do it, but hats off to her. I hope she manages to pull that one off. There's a story. Oh, and this report sponsored by tax attorney Steve Moskowitz. For more than 30 years, Steve has put his tax knowledge to work for individuals and businesses alike. So if you need help with your taxes, Steve Moskowitz is at 888-TAX-DEAL. He's also at moskowitzllp.com. I wanted to show you this story. This is so interesting. This woman was walking along the beach in San Francisco, and she finds what SF Gate calls a mystery bone. So I'll tell you the story. Let's see if I can get to the story. Everything's all discombobulated today. Okay, so this woman, her name is Elke Teichman. She's with a roommate. They're walking their dogs down at Fort Funston last weekend, and they find the skeleton remnant of what looks like a massive sea creature. She says, my roommate and I were walking our dogs on the beach, looking at all the driftwood that had washed up from the storm when I saw something that caught my eye. She's talking to SF Gate via email. She said, from my vantage point, it looked like something, some large white item peeking through all the scattered branches. She goes up to the object. She takes a few pictures. She thinks maybe it's a whale vertebra. And she sends it to some experts, and they say it's the brain case of a modern gray whale. So interesting. Their narrow, distinctive skulls make them easy to identify. Though these whales haven't been around for very long, they have a tumultuous history, and on goes the story. But what a thing to find, you know, and what strange things have been washed up on our shores during all these storms. I don't know if you've been looking, but it's very, very interesting. Another story that we've been following today is this rise of the Salinas River in the Monterey area, and it's supposed to reach flood stage sometime this afternoon. Could cut off part of Monterey County. So it's something that we've been watching as well. Here's a story for you. I don't know. And tell me in the chat if this is you, or if you ever even have a problem with the word. More Democrats identify as liberal than ever before, according to a new Gallup poll that found 54% of Democrats identified as liberal last year, up 4% from 2021. Meanwhile, the amount of Republicans who identify as conservative has stayed steady for over a decade. So what is it about the word liberal that makes you okay to identify yourself as a Democrat, but not as a liberal? I mean, is there a problem with the word liberal and it's becoming more acceptable now? I guess maybe after everything on January 6th, being a liberal doesn't sound so bad after all. I don't know. Let's take a look at the chat and see what you guys have to say about that. If you're identifying as a liberal, strange perspective. Okay. I think you're talking about the skull. Yeah, so interesting to find what we're finding on the beach. It is. Nick says it's used disparagingly by the right. That's true. And I guess the word conservative doesn't have the disparaging, you know, spin to it that libby or liberal or whatever does. But I don't know. Wes says, or people's perception of what liberal means, has people's perception of what liberal means changed? I don't know if it's changed, because I think for what, almost half the country, liberal's a dirty word, right? Ricky Aubert one, oh yeah, I'm the conservative liberal Democrat socialist. Okay. Fox monetizing the word liberal, according to Cindy. Mindy says, I feel in good company, Judy. Glad you understand. I didn't see Judy's original text, but I don't have a problem with the word liberal, and I don't think it's a dirty word. As a matter of fact, I think when you look at the exact meaning of the word liberal, but the way I think of it is that it means your mind is open to other things. Liberal, number one, favoring reform, open to new ideas, tolerant of the ideas and behavior of others, not bound by traditional thinking, broad-minded. So what's so dirty about being broad-minded, about being open to new ideas and able to be tolerant of the behavior of others as long as they're not hurting anybody else? And why is that? Why does we ever allow that to be turned into something dirty or unsavory or something that we wouldn't want? I guess I don't really understand that. Here's Judy. Judy says, I think that it has to do with how right-wingers use liberal interchangeably with Democrats. Yeah, that's true. But and I know they, John Rothman would say, well, they tried to make Democrat a dirty word by emphasizing the rat at the end, right? So instead of saying Democratic congressman, they say Democrat congressman to kind of emphasize that rat word. I've never really bought on to that theory, but I don't feel like the word Democrat is dirty either. I don't know. Flo, for some reason, the term liberal became a type of four-letter word. Maybe Dems or progressives are retaking ownership of the word in its best sense. Maybe that's the case, or maybe people are finding that when you're aligning yourself with ultra-right conservatives, that is not preferable either. So maybe more people are coming around to the ugliness of what happened during the Trump years and during January 6th. I hope that's the case. I don't know. I'm not sure. Randy writes, all liberals are tolerant of views and opinions that don't align with their own. No, Randy, I don't think they are, but I think they're more open-minded. I could be wrong, and I'm willing to, you know, have the discussion, as Mark would say, take a meeting. But it feels like the conservative people that I know maybe either grew up that way, and so that's just always been the way they think, and there's, you know, never any room for anything new. But the whole story behind, you know, Republicans and conservatives, allegedly, is that they would like to roll things back in time, right? Have the 1950s resurface, whereas liberals want to be progressive and move forward. And so that would, you know, extend to open-minded thinking and new ideas and that type of thing. So Do I think that all liberals are tolerant of all views? No. I mean, that's not the case, because there are some that, you know, it just like conservatives, my way or the highway type of thing as well. But I think if you were in a room full of Republicans versus a room full of Democrats, you would find the Democrats more open to listening to what you had to say. I could be wrong about that, but that's just kind of what I'm thinking about. SF Tesla, it used to be a liberal education was sought after, right? Because it would be all encompassing. It would be, you know, all ideas presented. So that's kind of what I would hope for my kids. Nick writes, the problem is liberal is cast as unfocused, given to trivial concerns, not prioritizing more important matters. Okay. I see what you're saying there. And I think that you're onto something, whereas that might be, you know, what some people think about, but I would argue that you have to, you know, even if you do have priorities and you know what the core priorities are, it's okay to think about other things. It's okay to present other things that may not be at the top of the priority list. I don't know, but I agree with you. I think you're right about that. Wes again, conservatives have demonized the terms liberal and woke. They tend to use them negatively when talking about things. That's true. That's true. Mo writes, you and Pat had a lengthy conversation to clarify the inappropriate use of Dems instead of Democrat, where there was made very clear how derogatory it was not to simply state the party a Democrat. Yeah, I think that sometimes we make too big a deal out of things, though, with the whole rat at the end of Democrat. I guess maybe because I don't have a problem with the word Democrat, just like I don't have a problem with the word liberal. Ricky O'Bear, I won't be tolerating intolerance. Yes. And Mo Direct writes, middle of the road became the concept of a more liberal view than conservatives. And Mindy says, I would rather soar like an eagle than cluck with the chickens. I don't know. I just find it a positive thing that more people are okay with being liberal, that has to be, you know, maybe the word is kind of the taint or is coming off of that word a little bit. Taint. Mm-hmm. There is a U.S. veteran, I don't know if you heard this story, who was detained in Russia and headed back home now. And it's not someone like Brittany Griner we talked about, or Paul Whelan, who we've talked about a lot. CNN is reporting this man is Taylor Dudley. And he was detained in April of last year. He was released right across the Polish border to former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, who I guess is getting involved in these cases now. He said it took 6 months of intensive work to secure his release. I think what that shows really is there is work behind the scenes to help these people that we're not aware of, that we don't know about. You know, these negotiations are happening. And while I know for Paul Whelan's family, it's hard to be patient, it gives me a little hope that things like this are happening and that you see that going on. There is a Brazilian art collector who says he owns a Van Gogh painting that is currently on display at the Detroit Institute of Arts, and it belongs to him and he wants it back. Gustavo Soder recently filed a lawsuit against the museum, claiming he bought that artwork for $3.7 million in 2017. The museum has been ordered to leave the painting in place as the result of this lawsuit, and it looks like this is a pending situation. What I don't know is how the painting ended up at the Detroit Institute of Arts. When he bought it, did he ever get it? Did he loan it to them? Will they not give it back? What's going on? I don't know. But if you pay $3.7 million for something, you really would think that you would get it, right? Or you would go after it. So yeah, big lawsuit going on there. This is something that we've been talking about as well. This man accused of killing 4 Idaho college students, he is now waiving his right to a speedy probable cause hearing. It's Brian Koberger. And he was arrested in Pennsylvania at the end of last month, charged with 4 counts of murder in connection to these brutal slayings in November. He appeared in court today, his preliminary hearing set for June. So it's going to be a long, long court case. He's waiving his right to a speedy trial, but I have a feeling this is going to be heavily paid attention to what happens with all of this. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people asking in the chat, what's going on with Nikki? I have been in contact with Nikki today, just to let you know. Her daughter is still in the hospital. And of course, she's right at the bedside and won't be leaving there. I don't know if it's going well. They're running some tests. There's a possibility that a procedure may have to be done. And so, you know, she's expecting to be in the hospital for at least tomorrow and maybe into the weekend as well. But we'll keep you abreast of the situation and let you know exactly what's happening. Please send good thoughts to Nikki and her daughter Marley as they go through this. And it's a stressful situation. I do want to say thank you to the people. And I haven't been collecting them like I should be because, you know, I'm new here. But I wanted to thank the people that have taken the time to donate to the show. It's especially important right now. I really appreciate Andreas. Smash that like button for Nikki's daughter. Thank you. If you haven't hit the like button today, please do it. We so appreciate you. It doesn't cost anything. So click the like for us. We are grateful, and grateful to Andreas for donating $20 to us through the chat. Andreas, with another $20. Welcome, Mark. Yeah, it's fun to have him on the show. I kind of like to just let him go with all these stories because he comes up with some real doozies, and I always love to hear it. Andreas, another $20. I'm working it to help Nikki, Kim, and Mark. Thank you, Andreas. We appreciate you. I can't tell you what your generosity means. Really, really grateful. Andreas, with another $10. So kind. I'm thanking you. I'm kind of scrolling through to kind of put these up. So thank you to Andreas for donating. I thought I saw someone else had kicked in as well. But you can do that. You can click the little heart with a dollar sign and donate to us. It's Jim Slayton for $4.99 with a super sticker. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate that very much. And I'll make sure to let Nikki know that you guys did that today for her. So thank you very much. You can click the like button. You can do that. You can also become a Patreon subscriber. And you can do that by going to thenickimedoroshow.com, thenickimedoroshow.com. Pretty easy. Once you get to the website, there's a couple buttons and you can just click right on the Patreon and then, you know, set it, even if you set it a low amount to just kick in a couple bucks every month, it keeps the show going. And we appreciate that very much. And again, click the like button because we need that too. It does something within the inner workings of YouTube that lets them know, hey, a lot of people are watching the show and liking it. So we should kick it up a notch. We appreciate that. And thanks to our founding sponsor, Steve Moskowitz, tax attorney at 888-TAX-DEAL and MoskowitzLLP.com. Let's see if I can come up with a few more stories to talk about. The storms are just crazy. And we had Spencer Christian on talking to Mark earlier. Just really appreciate him being there because he's let us know what's happening. We're, you know, the forecast has changed a little bit. So we get a bit of a break today. And then tomorrow, another level 2 comes in. And you've already seen all the trees falling and the flooding happening and the ground's already wet. Here it comes again. As a matter of fact, right outside my window right now, there's a man fixing the fence. So level 2 tomorrow, probably a lot more fences falling down and trees blowing over. Saturday, though, it's the level 3. That according to ABC, and that is their storm ranking system that they use exclusively there. On Saturday, Spencer Christian saying 6 a.m. to noon is when it will be the most intense and then may lighten up for the 49ers game. And then we just have level 1 storms, again, with the ABC ranking system carrying on just kind of back to back all the way into the start of next week and for the foreseeable future. So we need the rain. We're making some headway on the drought. And, I think you can be grateful, but just kind of also hopeful that we don't get any more damage as we get more storms around the Bay Area. I'm always willing to show your storm damage. If you want to send any pictures you think would be helpful for the news or would be interesting to other people, you can email me. It's kimmcallister@gmail.com. 2 M's, 2 C's. And 2 L's. But California's drought conditions are improving. In just 1 week, the state of California has gone from having 27% of the state in extreme drought, that classification, to less than 0.5%. So, you know, it's funny because sometimes you see these storms and the next story, well, but We're still in a drought. Well, this time it actually is making a difference. The improvement attributed to these storms that have hit the state to start the new year, we've just seen them, you know, back-to-back storms, and finally we're making a dent. I didn't know about this story, but did you guys hear that Lisa Marie Presley suffered a cardiac arrest? Yeah, her condition is unknown. TMZ says paramedics had to perform CPR on her at her home in Calabasas before rushing her to the hospital. Of course, she's the daughter of Elvis Presley. She had attended the Golden Globe Awards Tuesday, where Austin Butler won Best Actor for his portrayal of Elvis. And now she's in the hospital. We don't know how she's doing, but she had to be put under CPR and carried off to the hospital. So best wishes to Lisa Marie Presley, and I really hope that she's okay. I saw this story, and I don't know why it took so long. I'm so excited about it. The trailer for the adaptation of a Judy Blume novel is now out. So I haven't seen the trailer yet. I have to watch it. This book is called, and probably a lot of you like me read this when you were in your younger years, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. It was published in 1970. It was a massive success, although its featuring of sexual and religious topics made it a target for censorship in some areas. I never remember anyone being upset that I was reading that. I think I read it sometime in the 80s. The film stars Rachel McAdams and Kathy Bates. It's going to be opening in theaters April 28th, but the trailer is out today. So you wonder, you know, if the book is written in 1970, had so much success, so many kids were reading it, why it took so long for them to make a movie about it. But I'm pretty excited. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, Liz, my daughter loved Judy Blume. My daughter has never read a Judy Blume book, but I should introduce her to it. Judy Blume, of course. Yeah, I'm excited about this movie. I think it's one I'm going to keep in my on my radar so that I can go see it when it comes out. Thank you to Wes for the $5 sending positive thoughts to Nikki's daughter, as valuable to me as or more than the money, Wes. So thank you very much. The sending of positive thoughts. I'm very, very grateful for that because I want that. I want this little girl to be okay. We're going to get her there. Judy says, I know Steve Moskowitz is the official exclusive sponsor, but Andreas is another sponsor. Yeah, he really is. He's so generous. So again, thank you to Andreas for that. We're really grateful and grateful to Steve Moskowitz as well. I tried to send him, text him the link, but I don't know if he got it. So we try to have him on. Judy was on the Today Show this morning with Jenna Bush. Oh, I missed it. I'll have to go back. Thank you for letting me know that. Judy Blume, of course. Yes. So that's exciting. I don't know. Not often where I see a movie so far out off in the distance that I get excited about it, but that one, even if it's a kid's movie, I think I'm definitely going to go see it. Speaking of movies though, Oscar-winning filmmaker James Cameron, apparently they're saying he's making his mark again on Hollywood. This time the marks are hands and footprints in the cement. Today, the Avatar creator and his producing partner, John Landau, were at the famed TCL Chinese Theater. Both filmmakers won Oscars for The Titanic 25 years ago, and their new film, Avatar, The Way of Water, is being nominated for several awards. It seems long overdue for him to be able to get his hands and feet in the cement in front of the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. UFO cases. Let's talk about that. Federal intelligence agencies releasing an influx of UFO cases since March of 2021. Kind of creepy. More than 360 cases were added to the 144 documented over the 17 years before that. A report from the Director of National Intelligence says flying objects found by multiple agencies demonstrated unusual flight characteristics or performance capabilities. I'm fascinated by that. Maybe the aliens are here. I don't know. Somebody thinks something's going on up there. So I am pretty interested about that. I thought he had a star. Calvin writes, I thought he had a star. I'm not sure. I'll have to check on it. Maybe it's, I don't know. Does your hand and footprints go with your star? I think the star might be a separate situation. I don't know. Not sure about that. a lot of counties around California declaring disasters to get help with all the funding. Yolo County are the latest. The folks there might actually get help with groceries. I think this is all related to storm damage. There's seawall damage in San Diego. It's a spot right on the waterfront in San Diego, damaged from the recent round of storms. A railing on the seawall at La Jolla's children's pool came loose. It's now dangling from the walkway after waves pounded the structure this week. They've closed down the gate, city officials have. I haven't released a timeline as to when repairs will be made. This is similar with a walkway in the Santa Cruz area as well, though, with part of it just washing away. You have to be really careful if you're around the coast, at least for the next few days as we get more of these storms coming in. I would like to welcome founding sponsor Steve Moskowitz to the Nicky Maduro Show. Steve, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What room are you in now? You're in a different area.
I'm in my living room.
You're in the living room. Okay. Well, welcome to the Nicky Maduro Show. As you know, Nicky's daughter is not doing so well, and she's in the hospital. And Nicky's been very forthcoming about that. They're going to be in the hospital for a couple more days. And so I'm just grateful that you have come on the show today to talk about taxes and things like that.
Absolutely. I told Nicky when she told me about it, you know, my prayers go to her and her daughter, of course.
Yeah, thank you for that. And we appreciate that. We're all thinking about Marley and hoping that she's doing well. Health concerns, a lot of people will be kept up at night by that. But financial concerns weigh a lot of people at night as well.
And a big problem is people who just can't pay their taxes. What do you do? Well, the first thing we'll start off is what you don't do. Stick your head in the sand.
Yeah, that's me.
You know, the IRS is in the problem. Well, it's a normal human response, though.
Yeah.
A bad one, but normal.
Thanks.
So, just saying it as it is.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, you know, the IRS is in the process of hiring these new 87,000 agents.
Yeah.
And they have to do something. Now, look at the money the government's giving away. We talk about ERC all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's just one government program. And then there's the money that's going to Ukraine and lots of other government programs. Yeah. Where's the money coming from? You know, our credit card with China is getting kind of tenuous. And when a politician raises taxes, that usually causes them a big problem, sometimes costs him or her their job. Mm-hmm. But enforcing the taxes that you have, nobody talks about that. Yeah. And that's what they're doing. And President Biden said for every dollar that he invests in the IRS, he expects multiple dollars back, which is a common business principle.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, what I don't want to have happen is the IRS come in and ruin your life or your business.
Yeah.
Because if they go after your customers or clients or patients, people don't want to know you anymore. They say, well, you brought the IRS down on me, and you lose so many clients, so many patients, so many customers. So the bottom line is there's all kinds of good things we can do, like an offer and compromise. That's where you pay only part and the government forgives the rest. You get a brand new clean slate or a monthly payment plan. Or ask that penalties be forgiven. A lot of times penalties can be a lot of money. Or something's happened, you know, you lost your job or your business has had a downturn. Just leave me alone for a while. Let me get back on my feet.
Yeah.
And then we'll work something out. There's so much you can be done. In almost all cases, we do everything for you. You don't talk to the government, deal with them, have anything to do with them. We do the whole job.
And which you is
sleep at night.
It's huge, because I was reading a story yesterday that it's gone up. It's gone up like to 13%, but only 13% of the phone calls made to the IRS from people seeking help are answered.
Yeah, I mean,
they just don't have people to answer the phone, and those numbers have increased. It was 11%, now it's 13% are being answered.
But the problem is the computer still cleans out your bank account and notifies people not to pay you. It's just you have so many people less now. You say, well, you only connect on 13%, how do we get through?
Yeah.
If you're in the profession, we have separate numbers only available to the professionals.
Right. I was figuring that was the case, because you have a back line. Yeah.
So that, well, it's for all professionals, but that's a big help.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really important as you look to how you're going to get, how you're going to get out from under something and making progress on it. To have someone that has the back line, that knows how to get a hold of people and knows how to fix it and get it done, kind of can lift it off your shoulders and more quickly. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're all about. Well, you just put this on us. We know what to do, how to do it. And then you can concentrate on your life, your business, yeah, your family, and not stay up at night looking at the ceiling, worried what's going to happen to you.
I also, and while I have you, I want to ask one more question. I know a lot of people, and Mark was talking about this earlier, a lot of people are opening new businesses this year. Interestingly, I have a couple friends that are starting new ventures. And, you know, you think about your mind's going into, how am I going to make this new business successful? And then you kind of come to tax time and you don't, at least I don't know, am I supposed to file with my business taxes separately, or do I still file like the jointly married taxes that I already,
you don't have to know. We do it for you. It's like, I don't know how to change the oil in my car, but I don't have to.
Yeah.
Because there's a person that's willing to change the oil in my car for me.
Yeah.
That's his business. This is ours.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, we'll just take care of you.
I like it. I like that very much.
We call it success planning, where we meet with you on a regular basis and give you all kinds of advice, not just to save taxes, which of course is good.
Business advice.
Business advice.
Yeah.
HR advice. Whole works.
I love it. It's really helpful. You're so much more than just filing taxes. You do so many things. So check out the website. You'll find out a lot more about what Steve Moskowitz is up to and what the services offered at his firm, how they can help you. It's moskowitzllp.com, MOSKOWITZLLP.com. And Steve Moskowitz is also at 888 Tax Deals. Steve Moskowitz, it sounds like your voice is a little raggedy. You coming down with something?
Fighting it off. I'm tough.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you coming into the Nicky Maduro Show.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for being here too. We've been talking a little bit about UFOs and I see a lot of things in the chat about that. So let's go to it. Nick, of course, we aren't supposed to call them UFOs anymore. Now it's UAPs. I still say UFO. I don't know. Right. We are due some reports about UFOs, but government is lagging. Not for the UFOs. They keep on coming. I don't know. It's kind of creepy. Other people asking for more UFO stories. I don't think I have more UFO stories, but if I have them, I'll bring them to you. Make sure you can bank on that. I definitely will. Oh, I wanted to tell you guys a couple different things about what's happening storm-wise. First of all, we know the storms are going to continue, and now FEMA is pre-positioning resources to work directly with California officials, so we continue to be storm-ready. President Biden approved California's emergency declaration earlier this week. That means more federal assistance can come to California, even though he was in Mexico at the time. Be stamped off on that. So there was no delay in approval. More storms are on the way. And I wanted to tell you, I just clicked off on the story, but there was something going on the peninsula. Yeah, it's a sinkhole in San Mateo County, and it is closing a stretch of Highway 92. A large sinkhole opened up on the roadway overnight. The CHP says the road had to be closed down at 3:00 this morning. This is Highway 92 near Upper Skyline, Highway 35 in Pilarcitos Creek. And that's a big deal because it connects Highway 1 to Interstate 280. So I'm not sure if it's reopened yet, but it's definitely something to be aware of, a big old sinkhole closing down Highway 92. And with the storm still on tap and still ready to kind of, Mother Nature punish you? I don't know, but I'll say it, the storm's still punishing California. It looks like we could see more of this type of thing. That's kind of scary. I did a story recently in the South Bay or Central Valley where a sinkhole opened up and two cars went inside, one on top of the other, and a rescue had to be made. It's one of those things where you're just at the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't know if you can't see that kind of stuff coming, you know? So it's just, yeah, it's something scary. If you don't have to drive when it's rainy out, it's a good idea not to, you know? There is, this is creepy. I have a friend who has a deer head on her wall, and her husband's a hunter, and it freaks me out every time I see it. So taxidermy, not necessarily into it, but there is an odd collection who is landing this former Texas professor in jail. His name is Richard Kazmaier, and he was caught importing the stuffed bodies of endangered or protected species. Prosecutors found hundreds at his home in the Texas Panhandle. He apparently taught biology at West Texas A&M, but a federal judge sentenced him to 6 months in prison and a fine of $5,000 for violating the Lacey Act, which requires importers to declare wildlife to customs. And I guess he didn't do that. So the whole thing of stuffing animals and we have a museum in Petaluma called it's the Petaluma Wildlife Museum. It's on the campus of Petaluma High School. And they have some live animals in there, like snakes and reptiles. But most of this museum is taxidermied animals. I know it serves a purpose, you know, so you go in and you learn about the animal, but it still freaks me out, the whole taxidermy thing. It's like, I don't want to see its body. Am I alone in that? I just don't want to. I want to also thank Andreas again. I'll tell you, so nice. Andreas with another $20. Thank you so much for that, Andreas. You're very kind and I really appreciate it. Liz says Highway 92 in San Mateo is shut down indefinitely. That is pretty scary. So we get the break from the storms today, as Judy writes, but yeah, it is pretty scary because it's coming right back on, right? A lot of people talking about Lisa Marie Presley, a sad situation, and I hope that she's still okay. People are saying Highway 92 still closed from Crystal Springs. Thank you for that information. And David, so grateful for the message, sending positive vibes to Nikki and Marley. So thank you for doing that. We really appreciate it. I will ask you once again to click the like button. If you can, just click it for us. And thank you for all the donations as well. Squarius, I agree. Andreas, so wonderful. We really appreciate the donations. And thank you for the positive thoughts for Nikki. It's a rough time. And I think it'll get better, because when you have a chronic illness, you kind of learn how to manage it. And she's at the beginning of this journey as to how to manage it. So it's my hope that, as things progress, that it becomes more of their normal and that everything is going to be okay. So I'm just going to keep being here and keep trying to support Nikki, because I know this is just the rough time. And it really puts everything else into perspective, right? A job loss at Station X is nothing compared to the health of your child. So I don't know. I agree with that. And I appreciate it as well. I want to thank you for being here. I know I'm shortening up the show a little bit today. I will be back again tomorrow. Hopefully I won't have internet issues and we'll be able to start this right off the bat and get the show done, lining up some guests for us for tomorrow as well. So thank you for sticking with me and bearing with me on the Nikki Maduro show today. I'm very grateful to you for being here. I'm going to end the broadcast with a little bit of music, as we all always do. And here's Jacob.
Nikki, you're all so awesome, you're sprout, like a beautiful blossom, you're all so the best, I really can't rest, you're all so awesome.
Wow, okay.